You're listening to the Cartoonerific Podcast, classic animated cartoons with your host animator, Brian Mitchell.
Welcome to Cartoon Fun, it's Cartoonerific, yeah!
It's Cartoon.
Well, well, well. Welcome to the Cartoonerific Podcast, classic animated cartoons. My name is Brian Mitchell, and I am your host. Last week we had part one of our two-part episode with Charles Visser. Today is part two. And Charles is a Warner Brothers director, and he's worked at Disney, and he's done a lot of different projects. And we're very thankful for that. So it's a good interview. We've gotten some really good comments from people all around the world. So that's been really great. But I do have to apologize for the audio quality. Apparently, you know, when I record, I'm using a Shure microphone, which is a pretty good piece of equipment. And Charles was using a tin can with a piece of string. Well, anyway, not quite. But when we do these podcasts, the interviews are varying quality. Sometimes we do them by phone, sometimes by Zoom. There's other services out there that we use, or I use, for the interviews. And that's fine, but sometimes when you're recording, if you don't have a good piece of equipment in front of you, if you don't have a good microphone, sometimes the microphone is of middling quality. So in this instance with the interview with Charles, I believe he was using the mic off the computer, and some mics are better than others. And I don't know if he was really up close to the mic. And, you know, and if people don't talk strong enough, the mic doesn't pick up a lot. So I had to play around with the audio quality. But in the future, I promise to do better, try to make these things sound as good as we can. And if the computer speaker isn't working well, you know, we'll go to the phone, because the phone is just a hell of a lot better than some of these computer mics. So there. Up next is Charles Visser. So try to duke it out. There's some good stuff here. Stay tuned. Please don't go away.
Cartoonerific is the place to be to celebrate hand-drawn animated cartoons. The Cartoonerific Podcast features interviews with the magic makers behind your favorite animated cartoons, with episodes uploaded every Friday. Or visit the Cartoonerific blog featuring articles about classic cartoon animation. At the Cartoonerific Gallery, view original animation art and memorabilia from your favorite animated films and TV shows. The company store features exclusive swag from the Cartoonerific universe. And coming soon, brand new world premiere cartoons on the Cartoonerific channel. It's all here. Join the fun at www.cartoonerific.com. That's cartoon, ERIFIC.com. It's Cartoonerific, saving the universe one funny cartoon at a time. And now it's time for our special Cartoonerific guest.
Hey, we had so much fun with part one, we had to do a part two. So here it is, our interview with Warner director Charles Visser. Enjoy.
Yeah, that was fun.
Jeez.
And
then
fun.
We came up with an episode of it for the studio show.
Yeah, the worst thing you could do is tell Alfred a story of something like that. And Alfred would go, oh, and just start drawing on his desk.
He
and
did.
And then it would have a cartoon.
That's right.
Whatever happened. They're usually embarrassing.
I told him some story about this garbage truck blocking my car, and I had to get to work. And it was like, I don't know. He caricatured me, you know, my big fat head out of a small car. And me, like, yelling at these guys, and these garbage guys are just like, you know, they look like something out of Popeye, you know, but really burly, coming and, like, beating the stuffing out of me. And he did one drawing after the other. It's just hilarious. I have them somewhere. They're funny. Really funny.
He would take he would take any situation and make it the most awful drawing, but the most wonderful character.
Yeah, just really wonderful. Now Alfred's great. He's still working in the business, right?
Yes. Last I heard, he was directing on Gaumont, I think on, what was that, the Muggy Chronicles or something like that? I can't remember.
No.
About the Samurai Rabbit. That's all I know.
Right. So when did you make the progression from storyboard to director over at Warner's?
That was actually right at that time that we were talking about, on Alfred's crew on Animaniacs. Mm-hmm. I think Alfred was...
didn't he go to Casper? He went to work?
No, this is before the Casper.
Oh, okay.
Tom wanted him to produce the show. And I know Alfred had some reservations, but I guess Tom eventually coerced him into it. So right. They needed somebody to finish out the Animaniacs.
Right.
And I think he still had about a half a season left to go. So Alfred, I think, was the one that suggested me at that time.
Right.
So I'm thankful for that.
There you go.
Over his unit. So.
Pretty neat. Yeah. So you got the boss, Joey Banaskowitz, around.
Yeah.
Or something. I don't know. I had left I had left before that.
Yeah, I think you were leaving at that time. I think you got a better deal either at Disney or at Blues.
No, I actually, I went back to New York.
Before or after the earthquake?
It was after the earthquake. How many times have you had earthquakes since I left in 1995? You know, zero. You know, maybe there was
still waiting for that big one. It's going to hit someday.
Yeah, it's going to hit someday. Probably sometime in the next century. So that was the big one for the next 100 years. You know, so but no, it was okay. I was able to. I taught some people, and then I ended up picking up some work from Alfred on Casper. And I did Casper the Friend of the Ghost. It's a little bit of Warner's, and then some Hanna-Barbera stuff and Jetsons and all this other wonderful stuff. So that now everybody knows what I'm all about. So there you go. So you got to be a director. So that's cool. So yeah. were you able to, what's your favorite episodes of things you directed over there?
Oh, boy. I mean, there are so many that we did. It's hard to pin down.
Is there anything you're really proud of? Like, wow, I really nailed that.
Well, I think when they announced that they're going to do Pinky and the Brain.
As a series.
So that's when I think I had a lot of fun.
Right. So. Were you – so there were, what, three directors on that or
– I think we started out with four units, and then I think it became three.
That's cool.
Because other shows were starting and ending, so people would come and go.
Right.
But I think when we did that at first, I think it was Kirk Teenblad, Russell Calabrese.
What was the first name again?
Russell Calabrese or Kirk Teenblad.
Okay. So it was Kirk and then Russell and then you.
Myself, and then I know that, God, I know Rob Davies was there, but I don't know if he took over for, I think he took over for Adu Payton.
Right. Where did Adu go to?
Was he? Adu went to, I think it was Sony.
Okay. There you go. Well, that's pretty cool. So you worked on that, and then after Pinky, you stayed at Warner's. You pretty much.
Yeah, I stayed in Warner's until 98. The whole funny thing was like, yeah, we love everything about Pinky and the Brain, except them wanting to take over the world.
Oh, really? Oh, God.
Like, okay.
There you go. Political correctness at work. Yeah.
So.
Come on. It's two mice for crying out loud. It's two mice who want to take over the world.
Well, Peter was executive producing it. You know, he did a great job with it and tried to turn it into what they wanted to be. And I guess it did well enough, but, you know, then times were changing. So now we're talking mid to late 90s.
Right.
So I don't know. animation seemed like it wasn't as popular as it had once been in the previous 10 years.
Right. Well, there was a transition because everybody was chasing the hot dog, you know, yeah. Meaning computer animation.
Yeah, that was just starting to come in. Once Toy Story came out, what was that, 95?
Toy Story?
Yeah.
I want to say it was like 90. Well, what did you have? Maybe 95. You had, was it Nightmare Before Christmas before that? I'm just trying to think. This is where, you know, all the people out in the audience they're listening to this and they're screaming out, "You idiot." you can look it up. You can look it up in the Yellow Pages and find out what it is.
Yeah,
now people are going to be opening up their Yellow Pages. I don't see anything but a bunch of businesses, for crying out loud.
What's a Yellow Page?
What's a Yellow Page? Yeah. I'll give you one. My dog just went on it. Yeah. All right. So.
The times they were changing.
They were changing because I, at that time, I was getting work on, I think it was Naughty, Make Room for Naughty.
Yeah.
Something like that.
I got a little bit of that too.
Yeah. So. But, you know, Warner Brothers actually held to their guns because I don't think they got into the computer animation thing. I think they kind of stuck it out.
They were sticking to the 2D.
Yeah. And
so at towards the end of that, I think they had just announced another series, Pinky O'Meara in the Brain.
Oh.
By that time, you know, I had done 10 years of them. And it's like, I want to do something. So
something else. I just want to interject here. Pinky in the Brain, Elmira Pinky in the Brain sounds to me like when they took Daffy Duck and paired him up with Speedy Gonzalez and we all know what classics were produced with those two characters.
I mean, it wasn't a bad show, but it just said, this isn't what I want to do anymore.
Right. And so what'd you do? What did you do? The audience is—they're out there. They're saying they're hanging on the edge of their chairs.
Laterally, because at that point they were doing another show called Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries. So, and it's like, they need a director, so I got pulled onto that.
Cool.
And, on the second season of Sylvester and Tweety Mysteries.
Right. How'd that go?
That was great. That was, you know, that was like the most freedom I've ever had on the show.
Right. Who was producing that? That wasn't a Tom Ruger production.
No, that was a Tom Minn and a Tim Walker production.
Wow.
So it was really, you know, hands-on, which is something that we weren't really allowed to do on Animated and Sneaky the Brain.
Right. So were you able to contribute to the stories, or did they?
Yeah. I mean, Tom Minton would have scripts come in and he would say, "Okay, here's the script. Go ahead and change what you want."
Wow.
And it was like, really?
Yeah. Well, Tom Minton is a cartoon guy. You know, he's all for that. Making it better. Yeah.
He gave us carte blanche to change the scripts and make it funny if we want. And I decided, it's like, well, it shouldn't just be me, so I'd like bring in my crew. It's like, well, what do you guys think we should do with this? Or what do you think it should look like?
Right.
We were given the choice. It's like, well, we can change up the background styling or anything.
Wow.
Anything was. And so it's like, okay, well, I want to look like a Disney Bambi in this episode.
Right.
Or I wanted to make it look like watercolors.
So. Wow. That's really neat that they actually give you the flexibility to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been in situations like that, but at Warner Brothers, it was pretty. This is the one thing that I think a lot of people don't realize. Tiny Toons and Animaniacs and Hysteria were very writer-driven shows, and there was an edict that came down at one point. It's like, what's written is what you're doing, and and I mean, you know, if you had an idea, you'd have to run it by Tom, who is. That was okay because you could say, I think this should happen here. And then he would say yay or nay. Yeah. But he wanted to stick to the script. So you were really tied down. But it just sounds like with Tweety and Sylvester, they gave you the room to kind of really stretch out. Yeah.
We could play with characters that you know, as long as it wasn't anybody like Bugs or Daffy or like that.
Right.
So we could bring in like Bugsy or
any of the secondary characters.
Yeah, secondary characters. Like I wanted Charlie Dunn. I could do Charlie Dunn.
Oh, wow.
So that was
Frizz Freeling is rolling in his grave. Chuck Jones character in one of his shows. Yeah. Well, they liked each other. So.
But that was fun, you know, and it was like maybe a year of that.
Right.
And now we're up to about 98.
Right.
And that's when things really started to change for Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers decided, it's like, well, Gene McCurdy was stepping out, Sandra Schwartz was stepping in.
Right.
And the studio changed.
Right.
Everything was now more, you know, budget oriented.
Right.
I can't do that.
Right.
So
because those other shows, Animaniacs, Tiny Toons, I think Animaniacs was, what, $1 million an episode at that time, which was...
Yeah. They never really told us, but it was at least $800,000.
Yeah, which is a lot. Yeah, it was a lot back then.
That's the 1990s money.
So yeah. Yeah. So, you know, Sandra Schwartz came in and said, nope, $1.98 an episode. I don't know what it was.
Yeah, because the studio was changing. I think Turner had just bought... merged with Warner Brothers at that time, so there was a big change.
Yeah,
big change.
So how'd you handle that? What'd you do? Did you stay there? Did you take a powder?
Like I think I was given notice that, you know, Sylvester and Tweety wasn't going to be renewed.
Mm-hmm.
There was no openings at the time at the studio, so I decided to took a call from my friend, you know, John Ober. And he was at a small independent, Mike Young, and they were doing Clifford the Big Road Dog.
Oh, so Cynthia Petrovic was over there too.
Yeah, Cynthia Petrovic.
She moved over there. She was what? I don't think she was directing at that point. I think she was storyboarding.
You know, she was boarding. So yeah. We both came in as board artists.
Right. John Over is a great guy, by the way.
Yes, he is. John's a great guy.
Great guy.
Mr.
Absolutely. Yes. He always laughed at my antics. He's told me I just talked with him maybe about 2 weeks ago, and so he was telling me stuff that I did back in the day at 30 years ago, and I was like, that was me, I did that, what are you kidding me, I didn't do that. And he said, no, you did. And then I was thinking about it, I was like, oh yeah, I did. And it wasn't...
Well, I'm so ashamed.
Well, yeah. Oh, well. Anyway, I was a little bit of a, I don't want to say practical joker, but I was kind of a bad boy back in the day. Not really bad, just, you know, just trying to be funny.
Well,
like,
there was
like right that. Now and failing at it.
I know when we were at CalArts, one of the big jokes to play on someone was they sold Limburger cheese in the cafeteria.
And no.
They did. Somebody got the funny idea. Well, wouldn't it be funny to put it on the light bulb of somebody's drawing desk while they're drawing?
Oh my God.
Suddenly, melting Limburger cheese on the light bulb is a horrible smell.
It's a horrible smell. You know, the thing, that story actually goes back to the 30s. They used to do that and put it under somebody's light table, and it would just stink up. And it's like the people would be like, where the hell is that smell coming from?
Yeah, it's just awful.
Just awful, you know, boy. And yeah, but I'm really surprised. It's almost like they said, well, there's cartoonists here, so we have to have the Limburger cheese for them.
Well, it was that. Remember the fart machines, the little fart machine remotes?
No.
It was Alfred. Remember the store called Oz was like a novelty store?
Okay.
And so they had sold this little electronic thing. It was like a little electronic remote.
Right.
And it had a speaker, and you could hide the speaker somewhere in somebody's cubicle. So, and then you could just make them like a fart sound.
No, really?
Yeah, I was like,
wow. Wow.
It was really
wow. I don't know. Yeah. Would I have partaked in that? No, I don't know.
I think it was probably an Alfred gag.
I'm sure it was. Yeah, they bring Joe Barbera into the here. I want you to meet Joe Barbera. Do you remember that when we were at Warner's? Do you remember them bringing Joe Barbera around and introducing him to everybody, or Bill Hanna?
Yeah, I remember Mr. Hanna and Mr. Barbera.
I remember they brought Joe Barbera over, and you know, I had met him over at Hanna-Barbera, of course, but they brought him around, and he didn't know who the hell I was. I mean, I didn't even know if he knew where he was in the studio, you know. But they brought him around, so it was Jean bring him around. She said, "Oh, of course, you know Brian Mitchell." Like she assumed that I'd been there, you know. And I get up and I go over to Joe. It's so great to see you again. Just played right into it. And it's like, oh, yeah, sure. You know, how have you been? You know, I was like, yeah, you don't know who I am.
No, I remember. Well, they were both, God, they had the.
They were ancient.
90s, or right before their 90s when they came, when they got a Turner. Bought Hanna-Barbera, and then Hanna-Barbera Turner merged with Warner Brothers.
Right. Or they bought Warner Brothers or something.
Into the studio, and they closed the old Hanna-Barbera studio.
That's right, and it became a gym.
Yeah, they would bring them in every day.
Right.
They had their own offices. You know, Bill had his, and Joe had his.
Right.
Shared a secretary, and I know they each had their own showers. That's all I know.
They had showers?
Oh, they had showers in their rooms.
Wow. Probably a bed and no. And Bill's working on like the fifth incarnation of Yakky Doodle Duck. You know. I'm saying all this stuff. I'm gonna get in trouble. I know it. And this is gonna be the podcast. This is gonna probably be the last podcast I ever do. I'm gonna be sunk.
Just go from laughing to laughing.
Yeah. So where do we go from here? So it was
Clifford lasted, I guess it was about a year.
All right. How was Mike Young to work for doing that stuff?
No, it was different. It was fun. I mean, John made it fun, so we had a lot to do with Clifford. It was preschool, so we couldn't do the crazy wacky stuff as much, but
right.
You know, it was fun, and I went from a board artist, and then John got so busy that I became the board supervisor.
Oh wow.
So
well, that's a neat position to be in. You guys went on to do the pig show, right?
He did. I left at that time.
Oh god.
I got a call back from Warner Brothers that they were going to do Jerry.
Tom and Jerry, yeah.
Yeah, and it was, again, with Tim Walker and John Mint.
Wow. Yeah, so you made the right decision, I think. But, you know, Clifford, I have to say, those productions were actually pretty, pretty good. The quality was excellent.
Yeah. John was producing, and Charlie Bean was our main character designer.
Right.
And a lot of it, you know, was the new system where a lot of the boards were freelanced and we had skeleton crew in house.
Right.
That's the way it was.
So you wrapped up there, you went to Warner's and you're working on the Tom and Jerry Tales, or was it just Tom and Jerry?
Tom and Jerry and the Magic Ring.
Oh, so you're doing the feature films.
Yeah, the feature films. So that was fun.
Right.
It was like, Tom and Tim wanted to do more like the old system. So they had sequence directors.
Mm-hmm. Were you a sequence director in that?
I don't know if I was a sequence director or I can't remember anymore. I know I was given a sequence.
Right.
I guess you could call me a sequence.
Okay. Well, you went back as a director, not a board artist. You went.
Yeah, but I mean, it was like I basically boarded my whole sequence by myself. So.
Oh, well, yeah, but that's, you know, when you're, this is something that a lot of people don't understand. When you're storyboarding, you're basically directing the show.
You are directing the show.
Yeah, and I mean, the director, the actual director, he kind of oversees and he makes sure, you know, he might want you to hit certain points in the script or whatever. And then the director ends up normally timing it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, but you're overseeing, as a director, you're overseeing the shot, you know, the shots. So if you look at it, you go, oh, this doesn't work and we need to change this or whatever. And that's what, that's your job as a director. But when you're storyboarding, and being the director, you're basically, you're calling all the shots. And does somebody overlook what you're doing? I mean, there has to be like an overall director that's looking to make sure everything kind of hooks, you know?
Tim and Tom would do that. And it was, like you said, Tim was mostly concerned about the timing. So that's where his focus was.
Right.
Tom was more interested in the story. And as long as it played out, he didn't care. If he decided, he was like, well, you know, it would be funny if we did a whole chase sequence. And he was good with that.
Right. That's cool. So that's that was a feature film.
That was a feature.
Tom and Jerry and the Magic Ring.
Yeah.
And then is that when the wheels fell off and they just decided to do Tom and Jerry and Charlie's Angels, you know?
It was about in that time. So
right.
I think... by that point, there wasn't a lot going on. Osmosis Jones had come out, I think, the previous year, and they were going to do, I think they were doing the TV series. Tom Ruger was no longer there. Gene McCurdy had left.
Right. It was Sander.
Sander. They were doing Shaolin Showdown. They got, let's see what else was going on. Scott Gerald, I think, was still starting on Crypto. I think that was
Crypto the dog?
Superdog. Okay. That might have even been a little bit later.
All right.
Because I know around that time, 99, 2000, someone's in there. The studio really didn't have anything going, but there was another division called Warner Brothers Online.
Right.
Was going to do. And they were going to do kind of like a Survivor parody, but they wanted to use the Looney Tunes characters. But since it was online, it was all going to be done in Flash. And not what we're calling, not what we have now, broadband. This was still back in the days of narrowband.
Right.
So
right.
It had to be very limited.
Wow. So that's crazy.
They ended up doing that for a couple of years. I don't know if you can even still find those things. They might be somewhere on the internet.
There's always somebody that kind of digs up this stuff, and they.
Yeah, you know, I mean, remember the last thing that Chuck Jones did, that Thomas the Timberwolf.
Oh, Timberwolf!
It was in that sort of vein.
Yeah, it's a one joke. Basically, a one joke cartoon.
So the first one we did was like parody of Survivor. You know, it's like that's what the studio wanted, so that's what we're doing.
Right.
And these were like 2 to 3 minutes tops.
Right.
Very limited flash image. But, you know, as they say in the business, work is work.
Work is work. Got to keep the food coming. Got to keep the food coming. Forget about the rent. Just keep the food coming. So
I did that for a couple of years.
Right.
Tom and Jerry. You did another Tom and Jerry Tales.
Right. I did a few of those.
Yeah, those were fun.
Yeah.
Those were a lot of fun. Tom Minton was with that, and Frank Molieri was an executive producer.
Yes. I worked with Frank over at, I met with him. I came out there during that time, and I met with him, and he was showing me his office, and you know, he was a in-betweener at Don Bluth Studios back in the day.
Yeah, well, he's a hell of an animator too.
Yeah,
draws beautifully.
Yeah, he's a great talent.
One of the nicest guys I've ever met.
So. Yeah, yeah, it's really
praise for him.
Yeah, he used to call me Mitchell Vision all the time. I did this cheap animated short. Because I just was playing around with 35mm film and I wanted to learn the process. So I did this film called The Last Duck on Earth.
And, I remember that.
Yeah. And it was a really stupid idea that it's seen nowhere. It's basically, but it was a 1 minute short. And so he looked at it. And ever since then, because I had these stupid jokes on there, like filmed in Mitchell Vision. And, So ever since he saw that, he would go, hey, Mitzel vision, you know? So there you go. So yeah, Tom and Jerry Tales was fun. And yeah, I think Eric Goldberg did the opening animation, didn't he, for that?
Yeah, he did the opening title animation, which is just wonderful.
Yeah. Eric Goldberg, if you don't know who he is, look him up. He's a fantastic animator. Sometimes, you know, when people are listening to this, I assume that they know who all these people are. And
well, you can just say, okay, remember Aladdin?
Yeah, remember the genie in Aladdin? Yeah.
That's him.
That's him. And people go, I thought it was Robin Williams. You know. Well, and him, yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, so I was there on Tom and Jerry Tales, and then I think I moved on to Scooby and Shaggy Doo Get a Clue, which was another iteration of
right. So 200th.
Yeah, 200
series. Scooby Doo. I remember turning on Cartoon Network recently, and it was just like nonstop. They should just call it the Scooby Doo Channel. I said that. They have all this stuff, all this great stuff, and it's just like 24 hours of Scooby Doo, and people, they're just like, oh, I got to watch Scooby Doo. I have to watch another episode of it. It's like, come on. I mean, I know it's keeping the money flowing over for you.
Yeah, well, I mean, the one thing I'd say was really came out and was very happy to work on was my time at on Tom and Jerry Tales, working with Frank.
Yeah.
They were going to do a Looney Tunes Christmas special.
Bah Humduck.
Bah Humduck.
There you go. I worked on that.
I got asked to direct on that. Yeah.
Wow.
Was like, dream come true. You know, it's like now I get to draw Bugs, Daffy, you know, Porky, everybody.
Right.
That I've been wanting to do forever. And when I first read the script, you know, and it read like a Christmas Carol. And I go, well, you know, this, we shouldn't be doing a Christmas Carol. We need to be doing Bill Murray's Scrooged. That's right. Looney Tunes.
Right.
So, we tried to push it in that direction as much as we could.
Right.
But you have a script. Mm-hmm. You have to do a script.
Right.
So with Frank's help, we were able to push it a little more into the Looney Tunes vein.
Good.
And I think that it just came out beautiful and it's very successful.
Who animated it? Was it?
Was done, I think it was TMS. No, or was it Wang? No, it was. It'll come to me sooner or later.
I could swear the animation was getting better on these things.
It was done in the Philippines. So
right, Phil cartoons.
Yeah. So unlike, you know, we didn't have that language barrier issue.
Right.
Philippines speak English. And they kind of have an idea of what American's sense of humor is. So.
Right. So you're able to say to them, will you draw this good, please?
Well, you know who Scott Peterson was?
Wait, who?
Scott Peterson?
Scott Peterson?
He came out of Disney. So he was basically the...
the supervisor.
Animation supervisor.
Oh, so he was probably doing some keys down there and telling.
Yeah. He made sure, you know, it looked like Looney Tunes.
Wow.
And it came back. You know, Frank went over there, and they were so happy to have him. They really, you know, because it was very ambitious for what it was with all the characters.
Right. Wow. That's terrific.
And that was just a great.
Were you the sole director on that, on Bah Humduck?
I was sole director on that.
Wow, cool. So you got your own feature film.
yeah. I don't know if it ever did. I don't think they think they were planning to, but they never did. So it was just a direct-to-video.
A direct-to-video.
Right.
Yeah, but sometimes, you know, these things come out so good that, you know, I think the Goofy movie from Disney.
Another one, yeah.
Which looked like it could have been animated in... You know, at Disney feature animation. I mean,
Only I know they did the Three Musketeers.
Yeah,
that was another
great one. Yeah, and it's you can do good quality animation overseas, but you know, mm-hmm. it just really needs a good supervisor.
It does,
and you know, of course, you need good artists and stuff like that. But you know, it can be done. Brave Little Toaster proved that to me.
Yes.
That was basically Hyperion gave Jerry Reese, you know, this, you know, he gave him like a, I think it was like a, oh God, a couple of million dollars. It wasn't a lot of money at all. $2 or $3 million.
Yeah.
And that was like a paltry amount. I mean, that's like direct to video money, you know?
That's what we had. I don't think we had.
Yeah. But it's, I always say to people that, you know, it really has nothing to do with the money. It's the creativity. It's the people behind it wanting to do something that's good and putting the money in the right places, you know? I mean, you're not going to get Beauty and the Beast, and you're not going to get Lion King, but you're going to get something that is going to be entertaining, you know?
Well, and that's one thing I always hate, particularly when, you know, people go, oh, this show was awful. You know, what the hell were they thinking? It's like, well, you know, you weren't there. Okay. You don't know what the limitations were on the show. So unless you were there, unless you've been in that situation, you have no right to say this is crap.
Right.
You can have your opinion, but you know, you can't say that the people that worked on it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes it's not just the money, but it's like what the people over you are making you do.
Right.
And so, you know, you want to put more time into an area. No. You need to get this done. This needed to be done yesterday. And believe me, I've been on that side of it where, you know, the work is sent to me. When is it due? Yesterday.
Yeah.
And no, you need to send this out. You need to get this back to us by the end of today. I'm like, and it's like, huh? And you got, you know, a page of script. I think a page is what? 10 pages of storyboard is about 30 panels, something like that. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot of work to, you know, I mean, you can loosely sketch something out maybe in a day like that and get 10 pages done, but it can be done, but you know, it's just, you gotta visualize this stuff too. You gotta look at the script, and there is no visual script for you. You have to kind of,
well, the one thing I know is how page count and least storyboards have changed. When we did Tiny Toons, a board was 110 pages, a three-panel storyboard thing.
Yeah.
That was average.
Yeah, close to 500 panels.
By the time we did Animaniacs, that was now about 165 to 200.
Wow. That was a lot.
Nowadays, I've done digital boards with 1,000 panels. So 1,000, 1,500.
Yeah, now you're timing the stuff out now. I mean, the process is a lot different because back in the day when you're working on Tiny Toons and Animaniacs, you're just responsible for the board drawings. But now, because it's all digital, they expect you to do the timing and the add the tracks to it. And, you know, and it's almost, you're creating an animatic now.
You're creating an animatic,
which is a lot more work.
Yes.
To put back that together, whole, yeah.
Whiteouts and running back and forth to the Xerox machine and post-it notes.
Right.
Now it's all digital.
Yeah. Which in a way is good, but in another way it's not so good. But I think I would have liked it doing animatics back in the day. I think, but, you know,
I enjoy it because you have you can really go, well, you know, I know what I want this to look like, and a storyboard just tell it, but an animatic will show the action I want and the timing.
And the timing of it, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You know, it's a different world. You have a little bit more control over the end product.
Yes.
So that's wonderful.
As snappy as I want, I can add as many in betweens as I want.
Right.
Still.
How did the 7D come around?
The 7D, Tom Ruger, I got a call from Tom Ruger. And he was...
What did he say? I want my music CDs back, you bum. Yeah. Oh, by the way, I have this project.
The pilot wasn't even sold. They had just done the pilot,
right,
but they were already interviewing for possible director positions. So I didn't get that first callback, Alfred did, but
right.
They were doing just like a couple of, let's just say, animated animatics.
Right.
And I got pulled in to work on that.
Uh-huh.
So we did those, and then we got a green light, and I was asked to direct on those. So I became a director on 7D, and we took our animated animatics, I just call them that, that's what they were. They were just basically colored storyboards,
right,
sound, and we fleshed those out, turned those into episodes, and then we did the additional 13 or something like that.
Right.
And we got full season out.
Wow.
So, and then about halfway through, they gave us a green light for a second season. And it was supposed to be like a huge thing. It's like, oh, wow, yeah, this, we're going to put this across, you know, all the brands, and we're going to sell it. That was, it was just a fun little show.
You know? You had dreams. You had dreams of going back to Disneyland and seeing the 7D ride.
Well, that they did come out with the Seven Dwarfs Mine Ride, but it was not based on Art 7.
No.
The weird thing with that show was, it's like, okay, we're doing the Seven Dwarfs, but we cannot do the Disney brand Seven Dwarfs. So that's right. Why they ended up looking completely different.
Right, and confusing the crap out of everybody that was watching.
Crap out of everybody.
Yeah.
and it was just a fun little show.
Right.
We had fun with it.
So you had two good seasons, and then
two good seasons out of it, and then I, because there was some question of what the show started out, it originally was supposed to be a preschool show.
Right.
And they said, no, it doesn't be a preschool show. So they upped it. And then to the next age group, and they go, no, then they upped it again.
Right.
So it originally went from a preschool show to, I think,
Now it's for 80 to 89 year old men.
Something like that. And so the humor definitely took a big change there.
I'm sorry.
We were having a great old time. You know, voice cast was fantastic.
Right. Oh, jeez. Who are the voices on that?
Oh,
let me guess. Tress McNeil, Rob Paulson. No. Tell me who. Or did I nail it? Did I nail it?
Nope.
No, okay.
There's a couple of those.
Right. Jess. Yes. All right. You don't remember.
I know. I can't remember
one. It was Nipsey people. Russell. Was one
no,
of them?
No.
All right. Now he was long gone at that point.
Kelly Baker, yeah. Kevin Michael Richardson.
Right.
Oh, God. Leanne did Queen Delightful. Oh.
Okay.
Was it Maurice LaMarche?
He works on everything, though, Maurice. Doesn't he?
I think he did Grumpy. I believe he did
Grumpy. Grumpy?
I apologize if that's not correct. We were talking. This was 7 years ago, so.
The 7D years ago.
7D years ago.
Yeah.
But, you know, like all good things come to an end.
I guess so. What was the last big thing you worked on after the 7D? Did you work on another one of these, Tom and Jerry Go to Mars or something like that?
I mean, I did.
Tom and Jerry and the Lost Cough Drop. I don't know. I'm being a jerk. I'm sorry. See, I can do this with you. I can't do this with like some of the other button down guests that come on here, you know, because I say something like, what do you mean? What do you mean? You're making fun of my career. It's cartoons, for Christ's sakes.
And then you just have to laugh at yourself because it is just a damn cartoon.
It's a cartoon. It's to have fun. That's what these podcasts are supposed to be. Yeah.
You hit a character over the head with a frying pan. When was the last time in the news you saw somebody hit somebody with a frying pan?
My ex-wife. Sorry. She's going to be listening to this. Okay, it's a lawsuit.
No.
There you go.
But, I mean, unfortunately that ended. And then I went back to Warner Brothers again.
Right.
I'm on.
You just love that place.
I guess I got known as a Warner Brothers guy.
Yeah. Well, that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not a bad thing at all.
Warner's has done some pretty good stuff over the last 30 years. He should be proud of that.
I've had a lot of fun with them.
Yeah.
Way back in the early days, and the last thing was, the Dorothy and the Wizard of Oz, and then on Scooby-Doo and Guess Who.
Right.
Just been great times.
Well, those are shows, you got kids coming up and they're enjoying this stuff, mm-hmm. So you're like a hero.
Yeah.
You should get the superhero cape and just run around and just say, I'm Charles Vissa. I'm directing.
Well, no, and if I tell people, it's like, yeah, I worked on Animaniacs and Peeping Grin, and the people will be like, what? I loved that when I was a kid.
I love that. I got a little bit of that today. I love that. And I tell them what I did on it, and they go, oh, okay. I didn't care for that too much.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I was close to I worked with those guys that did the shows you liked,
Oh, sure.
Yeah. No, we had, I'll tell you, I had a lot of fun when I was there. And, I think that's a sure sign of like when you're working on something that's good and you're having fun with it. And then you're, you're joking around with other people and stuff like that. And I think that's, it's a wonderful thing. Those are really good memories for me. And, working with you and Joey Banaskowitz and Phil Mosnes and Tony Craig and Ken Boyer, Alfred Jimeno, Tom Ruger, all these really talented people, Ann Gunther, and geez, it was a wonderful time. So, you doing anything special now?
Let's see. So, what did I last couple of years? Like I said, it's been bouncing around.
Right.
I was back at Disney again for Mickey Mouse or Minnie Mouse movie, let's say a Halloween movie.
Cool. Directing on that or just storyboarding on that? Or?
Just storyboarding. Yeah. Jeff Gordon was directing on that.
Well, that's okay. Yeah. Storyboarding's fun.
I was wondering on those guys too. You get to go classic Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, Daisy and Minnie, and it's just fun.
There you go. Is that the old style or the newer?
It's the first CG, so it was like the 3D style.
Oh, okay.
Rob DeLuca was producing that.
Cool.
Story out of Ed Wexler's characters.
Is that going to go like to Disney Plus or something like that?
It's already came out. It's on Disney Plus.
Oh, okay, cool.
Called The Tale of Two Witches.
Wow.
And then after that, I was on Mini Bowtoons for a few months.
Mini Bowtoons?
Mini Bowtoons.
So that's Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse.
Minnie Mouse. Minnie. Wow.
That, and then made a complete 180 and went over to Bento Box and did a few months on Bob's Burgers. So
Bob's Burgers. Wow. There you go. Funny show.
Yeah.
You're working all over the place. You're spreading.
I keep switching gears.
So you're spreading that Charles Visser-ness all over the place.
Yeah, the last few things was back at what was Mike Young is now Splash. Did Woody Woodpecker?
Oh wow! Mike Milo was working on those, wasn't he?
Yeah, he's directing those.
Yeah,
those were a lot of fun.
Yeah, Mike's a great guy.
So I'd say I've had a great career.
There you go.
I hope it's not over, but you never know.
And now I'm going to the Bronx. I'm going to retire. Yes. Charles, thank you for coming on here. It was fun.
No,
I don't think we learned anything about your career, but but we had a few laughs and it was fun.
Do you have any questions or comments about the podcast? Please email Brian at cartoonerific.com. Your email may be featured in one of our future shows.
Well, thank you for tuning in today. Thank you, Charles Visser, for that wonderful interview. It was a lot of fun to do. It's been a long time. I haven't talked to him in a long time, so it was nice catching up. Well, we have some very, very interesting guests coming on the weeks ahead, so please come back and visit the Cartoonerific podcast to hear some of those interviews. If you really like what you're listening to, please subscribe. Go to your favorite service, just hit the button, and then you'll be alerted the next time a Cartoonerific podcast is uploaded for your enjoyment. How is that? I think it's pretty good. If you really like what you're listening to, please tell a friend. That's very important because that's how we grow around here. We grow because you tell somebody about the podcast and you tell some other people, and then they come on, they listen, and very good thing. Anyway, want to thank everybody for listening. These have been a lot of fun to do. I really enjoy them. I hope you're having fun with them too. So want you to have a great day. Want you to have an excellent week. And once again, thank you so much for tuning in. See ya.
This has been a Cartoonerific Studios presentation.
The Cartoonerific podcast is copyright 2024 by Cartoonerific Studios Incorporated. All rights reserved.